Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Off the Shelf. Today is Saturday, December the 12th, another bright and glorious day here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Denise Turney, and today we are so fortunate and truly blessed, and I do mean truly blessed. I met this fabulous young woman at the Philadelphia Christian Writers Conference in August of this year. She is truly a blessing, has lived a wonderful life, and has a book that will bless so many people. Her name is Kathy Evans. Kathy is the author of a very powerfully moving book titled Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss. She and her husband are also working to start a ministry in other parts of the world to continue to bless others. Welcome to Off the Shelf, Kathy.
Thank you, Denise. I just so appreciate you just coming beside me and coming beside all our authors. I know that that's your calling, and I, for one, can just testify that you have been such a blessing, an encouragement, and an inspiration, and I just thank you for the support.
And I'm so happy to have you here with us again with your book. And I want to let our listeners know before we start, and I will say this several times throughout the show, as we have many, many listeners here at Off the Shelf. You can also, and I encourage you to visit Kathy Evans. She's also a licensed nurse at Our Baby, Our Loss. No, Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss, and it's spelled just the way it sounds, .vivit.com. Again, Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss, .vivit.com. Visit her there several, just again and again and again, because she also keeps a blog which she updates. So before we start, I told our listeners here how we met at the Philadelphia Christian Writers Conference, which that was my second year there. And I wanted to just say before we got started that I also featured Kathy in the Book Lovers Haven, which is our newsletter. And this was one newsletter. There was another one that I did that a group of women finished a book and promoted it for a woman who they met at a writer's conference, and she ended up transitioning due to cancer. But then the readers, the subscribers to the Book Lovers Haven were very moved by that. This is the second interview I featured in the Book Lovers Haven, which has been running close to 10 years, where I heard subscribers come back and say that was a very moving interview, and it was Kathy's interview. So I just by being you and being so candid, I think you're going to find doors opening just by being yourself. So I wanted to begin by thanking you for sharing you with us here at Off the Shelf, and I'm so glad that our paths did cross, and it gave me a chance to learn about your book, Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss, and it gave me a chance, you know, to meet you. So I wanted to ask to our listeners, Kathy's also a registered nurse who works in obstetrics. How long have you been working in that field, Kathy?
Well, I do try to preface that question with the thought that you need to remember that I started in nursing when I was 2 years old. So I don't want you to think I'm old. not really, but I have been in nursing for almost 32 years. And for 30 of those years, I have been in obstetrics.
Wow. Okay. Was there anything when you were a child you think that pulled you to that, or it was just a career, you were looking for a job, and that was one of the first things you saw?
Well, it's an interesting thing. I was not one of those little girls who, you know, put Band-Aids on worms and things like that. I was always a nurturing kind of person and loved to take care of my younger siblings. But I actually felt God calling me to the mission field as a missionary at the age of 11.
Wow.
And in specific, I thought that God was calling me to a Hispanic area, and so I prepared myself for that in high school by taking Spanish, and but as I got closer to graduation from high school, I realized that I really didn't know of any vehicle that I could use to get to the mission field. And so my mother had been hospitalized while I was in my senior year, at the beginning of my senior year of high school, and she had a student nurse take care of her. And she came home and she said, Kath, she said, you know, that student nurse just so reminded me of you.
Wow.
She said, have you ever thought about nursing? And, you know, it was one of those times in your life that it just felt right.
Well, isn't that something?
And, yeah, you know, it was just the Holy Spirit. And so from that point on, I just moved towards going into nursing school.
That is amazing. The guest we had last week, S. Renee Smith, who is the author of There's More Inside, she talked about we all get those promptings, and we do in what's – a lot of times we think, oh, man, this is really, like, weird, and it doesn't make sense to our own intellect, so we dismiss it. But when we follow it, oh, what a blessing, I'm telling you. When you follow it, you see what it connects to one thing, connects to the other. Good for
you.
Good for you.
And now it seems like that, you know, me going into nursing and then being called into obstetrics, that all was a preparation for me to indeed follow that calling when I was 11 years old to go on the mission field.
Well, I want to talk about your book, you and your husband's book, Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss. But before I do, I wanted to ask you, just touch on this very briefly, because I wrote an article about the nursing shortage in the medical situation in the country. I don't want to go into that in depth, but I was surprised. I was absolutely shocked that there is a nursing shortage, not only in America, but in other countries as well. Is that the job of being a nurse is challenging and demanding? And I heard that they work long. Nurses work long hours. Is that the case across the board, or just certain pockets in the country?
Well, it does tend to be the case. Of course, you have to keep in mind that that is true of institutional nursing. There are many areas of nursing that are not patient care or direct patient care related, and those hours tend to be a little bit easier. But yes, it is. It's very hard work. You're lifting patients, and so it is a challenging job. And you know, when I went into it, because I am old, my eyes were not quite opened, and those of the nurses in my generation, we had not yet discovered the HIV virus, and so, you know, we kind of, some of us kind of had stars in our eyes towards nursing. Nurses today are going into the field with their eyes very open.
Okay.
And they know that they're going to be exposed to the HIV virus, to even now there's been a resurgence of tuberculosis, hepatitis, and so it is, you know, if you're going into an field of nursing that involves patient care, you have to kind of have your priorities straight, because you know that you are putting yourself at risk of contracting these diseases. But having said that, the rewards are just incredible.
Yeah, to see the people's lives. I had a good nurse when I gave birth to my son, and thank God for her. I also had not such a great one. But I had an older nurse. She was more like a volunteer. She was really, really fabulous, and I was so grateful and appreciative for her care. I want to focus on the book, Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss. So I wanted to ask you, actually, hang on just a second.
Sure.
If you could just tell us how old is your first son? Because I know you have two children, if I'm correct. And were you working when your first son was born?
Actually I was. I had been in labor and delivery for 4 years when he was born, and he is now 27 years old, and keeping in mind I was 2 when I had him also.
did
the listener to think I'm old.
Do you think your studies and your work experience while you were pregnant, and especially in labor, do you think they helped you for our listeners who themselves might be expecting and they're a little It can be a little scary when you're expecting and you've heard these horror stories about labor. Do you think that your studies and your experience as a nurse, did it help you when you gave birth to your son and made it easier for you?
Yes and no. There's when you can eliminate the element of surprise in any situation in life, or at least maybe not eliminate it, but decrease it, I think that leads to a calmness and a peace that you don't have if you're uncertain about what's about to happen to you. So, yes, I think it did help. On the other hand, I actually taught childbirth classes prior to for about 2 years prior to having my first son. And I would tell my couples in those classes that this is the hardest thing that you will ever do until you have another baby. And it wasn't until after I had him that I realized how true that was.
Wow.
And it did surprise me. Yes and no. And I strongly, strongly would urge anyone who is about to have, especially their first baby, to take childbirth classes. Because there is so much less an element of surprise if you take them. Those instructors do a wonderful job in preparing their couples. So I would strongly recommend that. But once you get into labor, the key is it's okay to be nervous. The important thing is that your doctor and nurse are not nervous.
Wow.
As long as they're not nervous, then you're good.
Wow, excellent advice. Oh, my goodness, excellent advice. How long were you working as an RN when you became pregnant with little Peanut?
I had been nursing a total of about 10 years when I got pregnant with him. I had been in labor and delivery for about 8.
Okay. And did you have a normal pregnancy, Kathy, or did you have complications early on?
I was high risk for both of my pregnancies. The interesting thing is with my first son, I got to 12 weeks in the pregnancy, and I sailed through the rest of the pregnancy. I loved being pregnant, and in fact, I had to call out sick the day that I went into labor. After that 12th week, we just had a wonderful pregnancy. With Peanut, it was, again, a little touch and go in that first 12 weeks. And when I got to the 12th week, I thought, yeah, we got it made. And we are just good to go here. And but then it was 4 weeks later that he was born.
A few weeks ago, a woman I know just through work, but I don't know her very closely. She was probably about 7 months along, and she miscarried, which, of course, she was absolutely devastated.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a former colleague who worked in academia who she miscarried probably about 5 times before she gave birth to her first child. Yeah. And she was going to, I guess, I don't know what the doctor's names are, who help you to try to even become pregnant. And she said, I cannot do this anymore. I just cannot. It's too stressful. It's just, I cannot. So I told her, why don't you just stop? She was going to adopt. And I said, why don't you just stop trying altogether and just let's see what happens. And she got pregnant, and she had her daughter. I'm actually, you can see their pictures. As I look across my room, she's got, and now 3 beautiful children, but that's after about 5 miscarriages, which I can only imagine how hard that was on her. And I know you speak about dealing with loss in your book, Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss. What advice would you give to women who may be tuning in, who may recently have experienced this, who are dealing with the loss of a child?
Well, it's the same message that I give when I speak at different grief support groups, and that is that we need to realize that our babies are just fine. Our babies are in heaven, in if I can, if you excuse the imagery in Jesus' arms, and they are doing just fine. And the reason that's important is that we need to realize that our grief is for ourselves. And that's okay. That's mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that there is a time to mourn. And when you lose a baby, you're mourning a whole lifetime that you have lost with that little one. And but we have an assurance through the story of King David when he lost his baby, and he mourned while that baby was ill, and he fasted and he prayed and he asked God to spare that baby. And then when the baby died, he cleaned himself up and he went and he worshiped God and he ate, and his servants were confused. And they said, you know, why the change? You know, you should be sad now. Your baby's gone. And he said, no. He said, my baby's not coming back to me, but I will go to him.
Wow.
And I firmly believe that God put that story in his word for the generations to come of parents who were going to lose their babies early, to give them assurance that their babies are in heaven. And, you know, it's an ironic thing. It doesn't matter the spiritual or the religious beliefs of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're Christian, Muslim, even if you're atheist, God doesn't care. He loves those babies, and he takes them home with him. And so that's the first thing, is that to know that your baby is just fine in Jesus' arms, and you are grieving for yourself. And the second thing is that I challenge these couples to make their children's lives count for something.
Hmm.
And we need to understand that the only way that we can do that is we need to be our baby's hands and feet. And
wow.
One of the examples I give that almost everybody is aware of is Alex's Lemonade. And that's become almost a national icon. And it's a little girl who had cancer, and she
mm-hmm.
Passed away, and her parents continued what she had started, and the funds generated from Alex's Lemonade Stand goes to cancer research. Her life is making a difference.
Yes, I remember when the Smarty Jones horse, they were mentioning that, when Smarty Jones was racing, that's how I first found out about it. And there's a couple at the church I go to who their son transitioned when he was 15 or 16. They thought in perfect health, and he got a virus, and they sent him to the hospital, and they kept saying, just go home, put your feet up. I think when you're in a certain age, sometimes some people in the medical profession just don't think it's a major thing. Go home and put your feet up. And his father took him to the hospital twice. His mother was in Mississippi at her own mother's funeral, and when she came back, her son had passed away. And she was, of course, they were absolutely devastated, because here you think you've got a perfectly healthy child who's a football star, basketball, and now he's not here suddenly. And they started a scholarship to help other kids with their books and whatnot for college in their son's name, in their son's honor. So what you said is, that is so true, a way to make your child's life matter.
Absolutely. And, you know, we all as parents have certain desires for our children. Of course, we desire for their happiness. And we just long that our children would make a difference in the world. And if, you know, once we get through that mourning period, when we realize that we can actually help to make that happen, it is such a freeing and healing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so my husband and I are have felt called to do that through our ministry, Touching Lives.
Wow. Do you recommend that women and men attend support groups or seek professional help dealing with this tremendous life shift?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One of Satan's tactics against us is to isolate us. And if he can isolate us, then he can put all kinds of thoughts into our heads and discourage us. And when you go to a support group, you realize that you're not alone in this struggle. And that is just so encouraging. And I absolutely recommend that couples do that. There were not support groups available when, or at least not that we were aware of, when we lost Peanut. And so we kind of struggled ourselves, and we did have, thank God, we did have a few friends around us. But those friends hadn't had losses.
Yes.
And, so it makes a huge difference to be able to share with other couples who are going through the same thing, even if it's just to cry together.
Yeah, I highly recommend that. I think when people join together, that's one of the symptoms I've seen for people who do get sick, whether with depression or whatnot. They tend to get isolated. So I truly, and they're not in depression for all kinds of reasons, I truly agree with what you said. Joining in with other people, actually engaging with us, not just being around other people, because you can be around people and still be alone, but actually engaging, talking with people, crying with people, laughing with people. I think it makes life good. I wanted to ask you next, what are some of the topics, if you could just give us either whether chapter titles or some of the topics that you cover in Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss?
Well, of course, the first chapter of the book just tells our story of Peanut's life and death. And I felt that I really needed to do that so that the reader would know that I really do understand the pain of what they're going through, that I have been through it. And in some ways, being a labor and delivery nurse had no bearing on that. It didn't make my loss any lighter. I just felt like that was important to establish right in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second chapter I entitled, What Do We Do Now? Because there's just, you just feel numb, after your baby is gone. And so I don't even, like, do I get up and go to work? Do I stay in bed? You know, what do I do now? And it talks about some of the almost kind of pitfalls of the first few days and weeks after having a baby. And dealing with guilt, you know, was this my fault, is something that I discuss in that second chapter. In the third chapter, I call it, Dad, There's a Lot You Can Do to Help. And I have found as a labor and delivery nurse that, during labor and delivery, dads often feel very helpless.
Okay. They're,
you know, they can hold hands, you know, but they can't make the pain go away. They can't make the baby come out any faster. And very often they feel helpless. And so then when their baby is born too early or maybe even stillborn, those feelings of helplessness are just exaggerated. And in the time, in the first, I would say, maybe month after we had Peanut, there were so many things that my husband did that made my grieving easier.
Wow.
And I will forever be grateful to him for that. And so I pass on some of those things, some, you know, very practical things. People are constantly asking, what can I do, what can I do? And there are things that they can do, like they can make meals.
Yes.
There just are some very practical things. And so that chapter talks is directly aimed at the father. The third chapter is what do we tell the children? And for those of us who have other children, when we have a loss, that is heart-wrenching.
Mm.
And please, I so want the listeners to know that there's no formula. There's no right way or wrong way to do that. Basically, I share how we told our son about his brother, and then I just encourage them to be honest with their children. Of course, honest to the degree of how old they are.
Mm-hmm.
We can tell our children too much, too. But, you know, it's just a huge issue when you have other children.
Mm.
The next chapter, you can celebrate your child, is just ways that we can memorialize our children, keep them a part of our family. I think that's a big struggle when you have an early loss, is this is your child. You know, if you had one child before this baby was born, now you have two.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that one is in heaven. And many times with our friends, they're afraid to talk about that child.
Right.
And we can let them know it's okay. You know, we're just as proud of our second son as we are of our first. And so different things that you can do to memorialize your child. And then finally, where does help come from? And, of course, the bottom line is the help comes from our maker.
Yeah.
But very often when you're grieving, you feel very detached from God, and you struggle with really how to hear from him. And so I talk about grief support groups. I talk about, books. There are even videos out there. And that is followed by a short recommended resources area. And then finally, I end the book with a short journal. It's a blank journal. And it's for the couples to just be able to write down their feelings. And some of it will be anger. Some of it will be confusion. But the important thing is to get it out.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say that I really felt led to put that in the back of the book, and it certainly isn't long enough for a complete journal, but it hopefully, by God's grace, it will at least help the couples to get going.
Kathy, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate what you have done, just based on the people I know people who have lost grown children, and mm-hmm. that is tremendously difficult because you've had... I would imagine no more difficult than perhaps with a young child, but you've had years of this person being in your life, and poof, you turn around and they're gone. And then people who've lost infants as well. I was telling you about the lady who had the 5 miscarriages, and then I had a friend who lost, I think, a baby lived maybe a month, and my aunts lived like a week. So I do know people who, and sometimes it takes a while. My aunt said it took her 7 or 10 years to fully, she could function, but to fully get back her strength, but she kept going forward. But that's not something that you just blink your eyes and you're over it. You're very candid and honest and open, and I love that you inserted the chapter how to celebrate your child, how to make their life worth living. What you're doing with the ministry, with the woman I know at the church who has the scholarship fund. I just think that is so powerful and so positive and loving that you included that in that book. And I really, really, it was so happy when you said that, to hear that. Before I move on, I wanted to just touch very briefly, when the mother carries the child, so, and I'm probably guilty of this as well, to think that the mother is closer to the child and the mother's more connected, whether the child survives or transitions, that the mother is just more, has a deeper connection with the child than the father. He's almost like a guy just standing in the corner. Unfortunately, you can see it that way. Have you seen, in your nursing experience, that fathers are as deeply impacted with the birth of their child or if their child transitions or any change that their child's brought in sick or something to the hospital as the mother is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. In fact, one of the things that God used in my life to kind of prompt me to write the book is that we had a couple, and obviously this was many years ago, who lost a baby, and I actually was not the nurse involved in the care of this couple, but the nurse who was involved came to me, and she said, "Kathy, I have a father who just has no idea how to support his wife through this experience. Would you talk to him?" And you know, we went into one of our rooms where we can do counseling, and we sat down, and I was able to share some things that, like I said, that my husband did for me that helped me through our experience. And you know, I walked away from that, and I hope and pray that God used that in his life. I think he did, and he seemed to express an appreciation for what I shared with him. But I walked away from that saying to myself, wow, you know, dads need to know what to do, you know.
Yeah. And also for them to deal with their own grief as well.
Absolutely, and I think that can tend to be a big problem with dads, is they get so busy with helping mom that they keep everything bottled up inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even, well, I've heard of many dads who have kind of gone out to their work shed and just thrown themselves into a project, and mom's inside saying, "Where's my husband? Where's my husband?" But that's how they're dealing with their grief. And you know, I just really encourage in my book that dads need to find at least one guy that that they can just confide in, and that they can just be honest with and say, "I'm really struggling here."
Yeah.
And you know, while it, you know, maybe that guy has absolutely nothing to say, at least it gives them someone that they can open up and vent to, because they don't want to do that with their wives. They don't want to burden their wives any more than they already are. And so I do kind of focus on that strongly. Husbands, find someone, find a brother that you can talk to.
Wow, and this is the advice only you could give. So this is, again, another reason why I'm so honored to have you on our show. Kathy Evans, an RN, the author of the book, Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss. She is online at the website, Our Baby, and it's spelled just the way it sounds, Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss, .vivit.com. Again, that is Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss, .vivit.com. I encourage you to visit her website, to bookmark it as a favorite, because she does have a blog there that she updates, and she's been through this. She's a registered nurse and has had the personal experience and has shared it in a book, and she and her husband also have a ministry, so she has a lot to share that can help our listeners. Before you wrote Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss, Kathy, I wanted to ask you, had you ever thought about writing a book before?
Never. Never. In fact, I argued with God when he suggested that I write this book. And, you know, I told him, "No, you know, God, you called me as a nurse, and, you know, authors write books, and I'm not an author." But, you know, it's the Holy Spirit. There have been those that have called him the heavenly nag, and he just wouldn't let it go. And so, you know, it was just something that finally it was almost like a giving in. I was like, "Okay, will you leave me alone if I sit down?"
Oh, God. I think most people who have heeded to the promptings of the Holy Spirit can relate to that. That's why I laugh when you say that. I surrender. I give up. Okay.
Give up.
Wow. When did the ideal, though, you know, you said the promptings came. Did they come immediately? Or when did the ideal to write the book come to you? And how did you arrive at this title?
Well, it was a process. Initially, even for the first couple years after we lost Peanut, I wasn't healthy enough from the loss to sit down and write the book. So it did take years. But in that process, it was kind of an interesting thing. God gave me the title to the book long before I started to write it, or at least that's what I thought. And the book was going to be entitled My Baby, My Love, My Loss. And that title felt right, you know,
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, so many people, when they have an early loss, very well-meaning people will say, oh, well, you had a miscarriage. And I just want to scream, no, I did not.
And I've already used that word. Go ahead, Kathy.
I had a baby.
Yes.
I had it too early to live outside the womb, but I had a baby. So, you know, that felt right. And I fell in love with that baby.
Right.
From the moment the doctor said you're pregnant, I fell in love with that baby. And so that baby was my love. But there was a tremendous sense of loss. And so my baby, my love, my loss just felt right. Until I actually started to write. And it was kind of like the Holy Spirit just tapped me on the shoulder and said, what about Mark? What about his loss?
Yeah.
What about his grieving? And I was like, oh, how could I possibly ever exclude him and the feelings of loss that he had? And so immediately I changed the title to the one that God had originally intended, and it became Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss.
Okay. Well, what was it like writing your first book? What was that like for you, being that you didn't envision yourself as an author, and this ideal came to you to help others in a similar experience? But what was it like for you writing a book for the first time?
Well, I have to tell you that, probably many people are like, oh, I don't want to even hear this. The first few chapters were just, I tell people that I felt like I was the Holy Spirit's secretary.
Wow.
He wrote and I typed. I mean, it just flowed. But you have to keep in mind, I was telling my story.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no plot involved.
Right,
you know,
right.
I just had written the story in our lives long before I wrote the book. The problem came when I got to the last two chapters, because I wanted them to be more kind of scientific, if you will. I wanted to talk about the grieving process and about some of the research that's been done in that area. And I just really had a hard time at this time. Now, this was probably a good 10 years ago. I just was having a hard time finding the studies that I needed, and I actually laid the book down and
wow.
walked away from it. Yeah, I kind of thought, well, you know, maybe God just wanted me to write what I wrote for my own healing, you know, and that was fine with me. I'm not an author. But then, and in fact, we lost the CD that the book was written on.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
And then as my husband was healing from a he actually had triple bypass surgery, and he was healing from it, but not quite, you know, strong enough to go back to work. He got antsy, you know, and he started to clean out our office And
found that CD.
He sure did. 8 years after I started it.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so, you know, I thought, well, you know, let me take a shot at this research one more time. Well, I was overwhelmed.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, Kathy. That is amazing.
Timing.
Wow.
Yeah. So he actually found the book in right around April, and the following April it was published.
Oh, my goodness. I think about myself as an author and the different experiences I have, but that one takes the cake. I have never even heard anything like that. Is that not amazing? Wow.
Yeah,
I tell you, man, that is really something. Oh, my goodness. I wanted to ask you, that is just phenomenal. That is really phenomenal. And when you said God's timing, that I've never heard anything like that before. Not that it's never happened anywhere, but I've never heard it. That is amazing to me. I've seen people deal with great struggle and loss and going to bless others. And I'm thinking my heroes are Harriet Tubman and Joan of Arc. And then, of course, Mother Teresa, who her life totally changed when a man she was caring for, I don't know if she was a nurse, I think she was, passed away in her arms. And then she decided, you know, I can't sit back and let poor people just perish like this. And she went to work. So these women, they went on to do things and start ministries and do things with their lives that have blessed, you can't even count how many people. I know you and your husband Mark have started a ministry, as you alluded to earlier in the interview. And thank you for what you're doing. But if you could just tell our listeners here at Off With The Shelf a little bit more about that ministry.
Oh, I would love to. After the book was published, we kind of grappled with the idea that we really didn't want to profit financially from Peanut's death. And so, you know, what were we going to do with the funds that we were going to receive from the sale of the book? And because I had been called to missions as a little girl, and because at that point in time I had been doing about an average of 2 foreign missions a year, it just kind of seemed natural to us that we would apply the funds to missions. And, you know, at first we kind of thought that we would do that with my own personal missions, and, you know, you have to raise your own support and so on. But God kind of readjusted us and said, no, I have a bigger picture for this.
Wow.
And an area in missions that I have focused on to a great extent, not exclusively, but to a great extent, is medical missions. And I've seen what a difference that they can make in the people's lives. And I've seen how you can present the gospel in a very practical way through medical missions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a process, but we really felt that God was asking us to start a ministry that would support indigenous medical ministries. In other words, we do not desire to go to India, let's say, and start an American medical mission.
Okay.
We long to start medical clinics that will be run by the people that are local to the area.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And then we will support them, both financially to help keep the medical clinics going, and also we will be taking medical teams over hopefully twice a year to do intensive medical camps, bringing over antibiotics and that kind of thing. So it's a twofold ministry where there's a medical clinic in a foreign country that is running 24/7, and then there also are American mission teams that will be going to the field to offer their expertise.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I think that's good because, you are empowering the people. It's not like what was the saying I heard years ago? You can give somebody a fish a day, or you can teach a person to fish themselves. And the more powerful thing to do, of course, is to teach the person to fish, which is what you are doing. And I thank you again for that. I know you follow the unction of the Holy Ghost. Did you? And sometimes we don't always do that, because it's not like God writes a guarantee and says, "Oh, this is going to turn out fabulous." Tells you what to do. What to do. It doesn't tell you it's going to be challenging and rocky. Just get out there and do it. So, did you jump at the chance to start this ministry, or were you a little reluctant?
Oh my goodness, we were so reluctant, and even now I will often say, "God, are you sure?" Because I actually work part time. I'm not a full time nurse. And
okay.
I live in a city that is, if I'm correct, I believe it's one of the poorest, if not the poorest city in Pennsylvania.
Hmm.
My husband has been disabled. And, I say, "Lord, you could use someone who is younger, someone who is wealthier." Someone who is...
Oh, you sound like Gideon.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. And but, so many times as I've said that to him, he has said to me, "Kathy, there's no way that you can do this without me. And so you're the one that I want."
Wow.
Someone younger, someone wealthier, someone healthier. Might be tempted to take the glory for themselves.
Wow.
And there's just no way, there absolutely is no way that we can take the glory for this ministry.
Is your first son, is he grown, and is he involved in your ministry as well?
He is grown. He's not involved in the ministry yet. He actually is a newlywed.
Congratulations to him.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a wonderful daughter in love. And so his ministry right now is trying to figure out how to be a good husband.
Okay.
So, we're praying that maybe someday both of them will get involved in the ministry.
Okay. I know at your website, I see you also sing. You're a nurse, you sing, you now are a book writer, and you're involved in a wonderful ministry. I wanted to ask, are you going to be singing or signing your books at any upcoming events, you and Mark, so our listeners can come out and support you?
Not at the moment. We don't have any opportunities to do that yet. One of the things that has frustrated me, and why I so appreciate the way you have come beside me and us with your ministry, is that, in the world of books, I'm an unknown. And so I've been kind of frustrated because couples just do not know that the book is there for them. And so, we're just giving that over to God. If he continues to open that door, I would love to do that. And, anyone can contact me through my website. And I have an email address on that website where I can be contacted. And I would love to do book signings. I would love to speak to grief support groups. I have done that in the past. So nothing at the moment, but we just wait expectantly on the Holy Spirit as he opens those doors.
Yeah, and then also area therapists, you might be able to they may know of support groups or have some themselves that you might be able to. And then, of course, churches, church ministries. I'm sure there's probably not a church that doesn't have somebody who's experienced a loved one transitioning. I wanted to ask you next if you plan to write another book now that you've gotten your feet wet as an author.
Well, when I wrote the first book, that absolutely was not my intention. I definitely had the attitude of one and done. There are a few things that God has put on my heart, and we're just kind of waiting on Him. I have found that short-term missions in particular, because that's what I'm used to, tend to be more about the person going than the person going and serving than the person who is served.
Mm.
And God is always about teaching. And I never go on a mission that God does not teach me enough to fill a book. And so I am praying about the possibility of writing a book that will just share some of the things that God has taught me, some of the stories that have happened, actual events that have happened on the mission field that God has used to teach me spiritual lessons. And I've just begun the process of praying about that and doing that. And so hopefully maybe in 2010, by the end of the year, that will be a reality.
Okay. Very, very, very good. I wanted to just, I know you said trying to find places for the book. Another suggestion is to contact hospitals, which you may already have done, to get copies of your book, Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss, into the hospitals for the support groups and different things that they do. And then as being an RN, that would be a good way, a good segue into that. I know you also have a blog, and I wanted to ask you, when you started your blog, and can our listeners hit off the shelf, subscribe to receive regular updates from your blog, where an email will shoot out to them when you do an update so they can go in and read your updated blog?
Absolutely. The blog, I started it last January, and part of the reason that I started it was to really kind of tell the story about how God kind of birthed, if you will, Touching Lives Ministry. And so the first, maybe about six blogs are the history of how Touching Lives came to be. And then since then, I just kind of pass along the things that God teaches me. And in fact, it's the blog that kind of has spurred the possibility of another book. The name of the blog is From Mourning, and that's the word for grieving, MOURNING, to mission at blogspot.com. And I do have subscribers on the blog, and I do update it as the Holy Spirit prompts me. And I especially share stories when I return from the mission field on it. So It does have a little bit of a bend towards couples who have had losses. That's the From Mourning part, but it also has a bend toward missions. And so it kind of marries the two ministries.
Okay. I also want to let our listeners know again here at Off the Shelf that Kathy Evans, the author of Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss, she is online. She does have a blog that you can subscribe to get regular updates, because she and her husband Mark also have a ministry. Her website is titled, and it's spelled the same way it sounds, Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss, .vivit.com. I highly encourage you to bookmark it as a favorite, to visit her today, and then to continue to visit her as you keep up to date with what she's doing, she and Mark, in the missionary field. I think that medical missionary is very empowering. Again, it's Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss, .vivit.com. I also admire, Kathy, that you attend writers' conferences to learn more about the industry. I think some of us take a magical approach to these types of things. I wanted to ask you, does your practical approach, saying, you know, I'm not just going to write a book and then have these thinking that it's all going to turn into gold and everybody who should read it is just going to come out of the woods and get the book without me having to do anything. Does that practical approach that you take, do you think it comes from your work as a nurse, or is that just your natural way of being?
No, it definitely is not my natural personality. My personality is to jump in and then look. So, in a way, I kind of did with the book, because it wasn't until after the book was published that I started going to writers' conferences. But I have learned so much from the conferences, and have said many, many times that if I were to write a second book, I would do it much differently. And success that Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss has is because of God. Because I definitely, in the area of publishing books, I did not do my homework. I just cannot encourage the listeners enough. If they feel like God is putting a book on their heart, do your homework first. And don't follow my example.
Yeah, but I still think the right people, especially when you do your ministry, if you also in those areas, I'm sure people everywhere deal with this topic. The right people will still find the book, as you have subscribers to your blog, and hopefully, and I trust that people here listen to Off the Shelf will go to your show. I mean, your website, which is Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss .vivit.com. It's a gift to you, our listeners, and for you to be blessed. And there may be somebody in your life who, not now, but in the future, may go through a transition that this could bless them. So again, I encourage you to go to that website. We only have 3 minutes left, Kathy. I wanted to ask you: you have achieved a lot, whether you feel that way or not. From what I'm seeing, I would say that about you without any hesitation. I wanted to ask you, who's had a significant impact on your life and caused you to move forward in the directions that you continue to move in?
Oh, wow. There are several people. First of all, of course, we're talking with people with skin on. The first one I would say, but people with skin on, I would have to say my husband. God certainly put me with the right person, because he is a cautious person. I'm the risk taker. He's the cautious person, and he slows me down. It's been wonderful to walk hand in hand with him through this. There have been especially sisters in the Lord that God has brought to me, just so many people that, you know, I would never have known if God had not introduced us. It's a God thing from start to finish.
Yeah, and I think that all good things we know come from the Creator, our source. I think that is so, that you said your husband, that is so, that's a very loving thing. And I hope he listens to this interview and hears that, so that you've shared that with the entire world. I want to thank you. We only have a little over a minute left. I cannot thank you enough. There were other questions I wanted to ask, but we didn't have enough time. But Kathy, what you've shared here today and what you continue to share in depth, candidly, with honesty, encouragement, empowerment, and the spirit, Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss, God spirit, I thank you so much, Kathy Evans and her husband Mark, for your insight, your advice, your ministry, your inspiration, just for you. And we appreciate you bringing yourself here to us to share with our listeners here at Off the Shelf. Again, please go visit her at her website and just to be blessed, Our Baby, Our Love, Our Loss .vivit.com to check out Kathy Evans and learn more about her and what she and Mark are continuing to do. To our listeners, thank you for being here. In the coming days, we'll continue to bring you feature interviews with established, best-selling, and up-and-coming writers, producers, editors, agents, and other movers and shakers in the book business. And please visit me online at www.chistell.com. And please pick up a copy of my new book, Long Walk Up, which is available at chistell.com. You can also get it at amazon.com and Barnes & Noble, Walmart, and Borders and other bookstores. I cannot thank you enough for tuning in to Off the Shelf each Saturday. Remember that you are valued, appreciated, loved, and truly blessed. Keep writing and reading great books. Bye for now. Kathy, I'll shoot you an email.
Okay.